not mine. Not a chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Right smack dab in the middle of it. Right smack dab in the middle. We are right smack dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The Secret Truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome back to The Secret Truth for the beginning of the second hour. I'm George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. Let me tell you about our final guest for this evening. The name is John Lott. He's the author of More Guns, Less Crime. He has a doctorate in economics from UCLA in 1984. He's virtually written over 90 articles in academic journals. His interests are economics, law, crime, public choice, education, writing. He goes on and on. He's very sharp. He was on Coast to Coast last night. I listened to one of the finest interviews I think George Norrie's ever conducted. And I want to welcome to our program John Lott.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Okay, I'm sorry there was a mix-up there on the scheduling a little bit, but I think we put out there Central Standard Time. But anyway,
no problem.
We're very, very honored to have you, John Lott, and we certainly do appreciate your work. And let's start out. How did you get involved in writing this book, More Guns and Less Crime? What was your motivational factors in getting that going several years ago?
Right. Well, I was teaching at the Wharton School of Business, and I was teaching a class on crime. Before that, I'd been chief economist at the U.S. Sentencing Commission, and I'd taught a lot of classes on crime and written economics papers on crime and law enforcement. And some students asked me if I could give a brief discussion on gun control, and I figured, well, you know, why not? But to do that, it kind of forced me to go through the literature. I hadn't really been very interested in the literature on guns up to that point. And I'd seen some of it, but I hadn't systematically gone through it. I guess I'd always assumed that there were better papers someplace else. And I was just pretty shocked by how poorly done the existing research was. Large studies would look at 31 counties from the United States. Could never figure out how you pick out 31 counties out of 3,140 counties to look at. And when you're an academic, one of the reasons why you do research is you think you can do a better job than other people have, or you have a new idea, and it's usually the latter. But I thought, you know, it'd be worthwhile to do the study the right way, and it took me a couple of years to put it together, and started off as an academic paper and got some attention, and then University of Chicago Press asked me to turn it into a book.
Right. Did your ideas change?
That came out in 1998. The third edition just came out in 2010.
Oh, right. Well, then it has sticking power, doesn't it? Staying power, does it? Does it not?
Yeah, no, I'd say so. The third edition has about 300 more pages of material than the first edition had.
What would you say has been this additional research that you've added to the third edition? But also, then you've made it very, very current, have you not?
Well, there are a lot of things that have changed over the last decade. The third edition came out in 2010. The second edition came out in 2000. Over the last decade, we had the sunsetting of the assault weapons ban. You've had a lot of states have stand-your-ground type laws. My research was the first one to look at that. You've had more states adopt right to carry. We now have 41 states that are right to carry. Really a major change in the last few decades. You go back to 1986, You had 21 states that completely banned concealed carry. You had another 20 states, which made it difficult. You basically had to go and get the approval of some public official, like a judge or a sheriff, before they would let you carry a concealed handgun. With the appeals court decision last week and for Illinois, Illinois had been the last state that had banned people being able to carry concealed handguns completely. And the judges said that that was unconstitutional. And so now there'll be 42 states that are right to carry and only eight, which require that you have to go and get some type of public official's approval. But all the states have some process for people to be able to carry concealed handguns. So that's a pretty major change since 1986.
Well, I'll say that your book probably had a lot to do with that. Are there legislators that are talking to you and interviewing you all the time about your different proposals and assertions in this book?
Well, I've talked to a number of people. I've testified before state legislators many times. You know, who knows how much impact research has versus other experiences. I mean, surely the fact that permit holders have tended to be extremely law-abiding matters. The most recent data that I've seen for Florida, for example, which is fairly typical, but it has unusually good data on its website, between October 1st, 1987 and the end of June this year, Florida had issued permits to over 2.3 million people, the average person that had their permits for about 13 years. And yet with millions of people having permits and all those years that they had them for, only 168 had had their permits revoked for any type of firearms-related violation. The vast majority of those were for two simple reasons. Either one, they accidentally carried their permit concealed handgun into a gun-free zone, like an airport, for example, or a school, or they forgot to have their permit with them when they were carrying. Both of those are considered firearms-related violations, and they lose their permits for that. So even, but 168 out of 2.3 million is only, is 7/1000ths of one percentage point. It's 0.007%. It's pretty tiny. And, you know, it's the type of thing you find when you look at other states. Permit holders are extremely law-abiding. They rarely get into any type of trouble. And my guess is it's been very important in having all these different states adopt these rules.
Well, I tell you what, is brandishing a gun a crime in most states?
Well, it depends why you're brandishing it. If you're brandishing it because you're being threatened, then, you know, it's not a problem. You're brandishing it to threaten somebody, then it's a real problem. Then it's a crime.
Well,
it's a crime
there's so many statistics like that where things are avoided, crimes are avoided by someone brandishing a gun and keeping someone from imposing a crime on them or attacking them. I mean, there's so many different hidden, statistics like that, are there not?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's the way most crimes are stopped, is not firing the gun. People who use guns defensively very rarely fire the gun. Simply having the gun, simply letting the criminal know that you have a gun, is enough to get criminals to run away and break off the attack. They know the cost of getting involved against somebody who might be able to defend themselves. And, I think you're exactly right. Those are important statistics. And you know, the news media doesn't cover those types of cases, even though you may have 95% or so of the time simply brandishing guns sufficient to cause a criminal break off an attack. You know, that's not really newsworthy. Gun uses that get covered are going to be cases when the criminal's been killed.
Right. We're going to take a break real quick here. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Thank you for being with us this evening, John Lund.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
We have witnessed two terrible storms in the east, but we are still in the eye of the perfect storm. The most devastating economic conditions since the Great Depression, America's worst drought in agricultural history, and now the economic results of the presidential election. This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. I just doubled down and got even more supplies from eFoods Direct, and I recommend you do the same. It's time to get your own supply from eFoods Direct. I know I won't be standing in a bread line trading my freedom for food. I'm taking control of my future, and you're nuts if you don't do the same. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials, and you can start with a holiday gift pack that's normally $80, now under $50. Remember, I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or 1 day too late? 409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Welcome back to the Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. Welcome back to our program, John Lund. Yeah, welcome back to our program, John Lott.
Thank you.
Okay, on this gun-free zones, can that be rather problematic? And what is the trend in those areas, in universities and, say, public school systems? What kind of information and have you developed in that area?
Right, well, I'm sure everybody kind of understands the motivations behind having these gun-free zones. The idea is if you simply ban guns from an area, you'll make them safer. The problem is, and this is true for gun control laws generally, is who obeys the laws. And if it turns out that the law-abiding good citizens who don't have guns there, but the criminals do, then you can unintentionally make things a lot worse. You know, I suppose the simplest way to think about this is that if somebody was seriously threatening you or your family, was stalking you, would you feel safer putting a sign in front of your home that said this home is a gun-free zone? My guess is nobody would do that. And the reason is pretty obvious. You don't want to go and tell a criminal who's stalking you, you know, if he's really stalking you, that there's no weapon inside the home in order to try to protect yourself. What that does is that it actually serves as an invitation for him to come and go and get you. And, you know, we see this all the time. All these multiple victim public shootings are occurring where guns are banned. You know, you look at something like the Aurora movie theater shooting this summer. There are 7 movie theaters within a 20-minute drive of the killer's apartment that were showing the new Batman movie that was being released. The killer didn't go to the movie theater that was closest to his home. He didn't go to the largest one. He went to the only movie theater that banned permit holders from being able to carry their handguns into the movie theater. And you see that, you know, the Sikh temple, the Portland Mall shooting that just occurred earlier this week, the shooting on Friday. In fact, if you look at all the multiple victim public shootings since at least 1950, with only one exception, all those multiple victim public shootings where more than 3 people have been killed have all taken place where guns are banned. You know, you name a shooting, and it's going to take place where guns are banned. And so, you know, I understand the motivation to try to make things safe, but what's happened is that rather than making those safe areas, they serve as magnets for the criminals to go. That's where they want to do their attack. They want to do their attack where they know that their victims aren't going to be able to defend themselves. And, you know, you look at things, even the Columbine shooting back in 98, you had a situation where the Dylan Klebold in particular, but both of the killers there, were strongly opposed to the concealed carry law. It's my understanding that at least Klebold was writing his state legislators asking that they not vote in favor of the law. And what few people seem to realize is that the final vote for the state legislature to pass the concealed handgun law there was scheduled the very day that the Columbine attack occurred. And what apparently had upset Klebold the most was that that concealed carry law would have allowed people to carry permanent concealed handguns on school property. So, you know, you just see this time after time. There are only usually very small areas in states which are banned, which are posted for you not being able to carry concealed handguns. And yet those are the places where all these attacks are occurring. You know, if it was random, then only a very small percentage of the attacks would be taking place in these gun-free zones. But that's not the case.
You know, you said something earlier in one of your writings there that you've suffered over the years in taking this stand and writing this book, have you not?
Oh, I don't know if I want to get into that too much. I mean, there are a few things, but, you know, things like Richard Daley, the mayor of Chicago, when I was at the University of Chicago, he basically threatened the University of Chicago with losing, you know, operations that they were doing with the city of Chicago if they didn't get rid of me and things like that.
Right, so, right. Well, I didn't want to delve into it too deeply, but, I mean, it seems like that this liberal mindset out here can't let go of the fact that they demonize the gun itself, right, and ignore the individual that has to pull the trigger, right?
Right. Well, I'm not sure I would argue that way from your perspective. The way I would say it is, look, guns do make it easier for bad things to happen. I don't think one should argue against that. But I think the point to make is that guns also make it easier to defend yourself and prevent bad things from happening. And the question is, what's the net effect that's there? Look, my research finds that the police are the single most important factor for reducing crime. I'm convinced about that. But one thing the police will tell you when you talk to them is that they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's occurred. And, you know, they'll tell you themselves that they strongly support letting citizens be able to go and defend themselves when the police aren't able to be there in order to protect them. You look at surveys of by the National Association of Chiefs of Police. You have about 78% of those police chiefs around the country support people being able to carry concealed handguns. In fact, they support a national concealed carry, just like a driver's license. If you get a concealed license in Oklahoma or someplace else, just like you get a driver's license there, you should be able to go and drive your car anyplace and should be able to take your permit concealed handgun when you travel, too. And if you look at street officers are even more supportive. Depending upon the poll, you're often talking about something about 85 to 90% of street officers support citizens being able to carry permanent concealed handguns for protection. They see firsthand the benefits in their own life from having a gun for protection, and they understand why they are important, that they just can't be there all the time to protect people. And so, you know, they understand firsthand the benefits from people being able to carry concealed handguns.
Right. Have there been instances where, at schools and so forth over the years, where individuals had guns in their cars or trucks and went out and stopped even a further carnage? Have there been cases like that?
No, there have been many cases like that. You have public schools like Pearl, Mississippi or Edinburgh, Pennsylvania. You have universities like the Appalachian Law School in Virginia, in which an attack was stopped. You have churches like the New Life Church in Colorado a few years ago, where you had one of these mega churches. It was 7,000 people. One of the parishioners there was a former Chicago police officer, but she had stopped doing that years earlier. Her former husband was stalking her, so she had gotten a concealed handgun permit. And she had asked the minister whether it was all right for her to carry a concealed handgun there at church, because she was worried that if she didn't have it with her while she was at church, then she would be vulnerable either on her way to church or on her way from church. And the minister said, sure, no problem. And what happened was a killer there killed a couple people in the parking lot, went into the church, and at that point, this permit holder wounded him, and he committed suicide. But he had like 1,000 rounds of ammunition, and there were 7,000 people in the church.
Right. We've got to take another break, and we'll be right back. Thank you, John Lott. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills. Excalibur food dehydrators. Tatler reusable canning lids. Sun oven solar cookers. EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics. And don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter. All from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
For all women and men who wish their fingernails were harder, this Christmas, wishes come true. Introducing Nails of Steel, a new revolutionary nail hardener. Nails of Steel puts muscle into your soft nails with a creamy, rich, natural herbal formula that is antifungal, hypoallergenic, and biodegradable. Just massage a drop of Nails of Steel over your natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time. Within the first week, you'll notice your nails getting stronger to eliminate breaking, chipping, splitting, hangnails, nails, and fungus. Nails of Steel makes a great stocking stuffer for women or men. And right now, get 3 1-ounce bottles for only $74.95. That's about a $5 price break on each bottle that'll last you for months. Visit nailsofsteel.com. That's nailsofsteel.com. Nails of Steel. It's like a salon in a bottle.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Secret Food. I'm George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. Welcome back to our program, Don Lund.
Well, thank you.
Well, I tell you what, John, you really, done your research on this, and you really have a lot of details and facts at your fingertips. What is the concept and ideas right now on common law right to carry as far as in your vehicle or on your person? Is there any common law rights throughout the country in the 50 states?
Well, it's pretty much determined by statute. And it varies a lot from state to state. There's some states that you don't need to have a permit to carry in your car. There are other states that do require that you have a permit. So it's just, it varies a lot, and just incumbent upon you to kind of know what the rules are.
Right. As far as your studies go from when you first started writing your book, was it 1998? Is that when it was first published, the first edition?
That's correct.
Okay, now you're in your third edition. In the real inner cities, have you seen a major change there in crime because of the right to carry or whatever? Do you have statistics that would indicate anything like that?
Right. Well, in fact, there are two groups of people who benefit the most from being able to carry. One group are people who are relatively weak physically, women, the elderly. But the second group of people refers to the area that you're talking about, and that is people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime benefit the most from having the option to be able to protect themselves. And that's a very well-defined group, unfortunately, in our society. It's poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas. I mean, again, it'd be great if the police were there to protect people all the time, and the police are extremely important, but they arrive on the crime scenes after the crime's been committed, usually, and that means that people who are the victims of crime, most likely to be victims of crime, benefit the most from having guns for protection.
Right. Now, how does this drug culture factor into this? Has this been a really synergistically negative on getting the crime just embroiled and increased in these different areas?
Yeah, well, if you look across the United States, about 80% of the counties in any given year have zero murders. You have over 70% of the murders in the United States occur in about 3% of the counties. And if you ever live in a major city, whether it be New York or Los Angeles or Chicago or Washington, D.C., often the major newspapers in those areas will go and once a year or so have a map of how murders are distributed in those cities. And they're not all over the place. Even in those places, they're very heavily concentrated in very small areas within those cities. So not only do you have over 70% of murders in just 3% of the counties, but even within that 3%, they're in very tiny areas within that 3%. And a lot of that is drug gang, either directly or indirectly related. And, and that creates lots of problems.
So what you're saying is, is on the periphery of some of these drug areas, it makes sense to have a gun handy to, because you might get caught up inadvertently from some of this drug war going on. I mean, is that good thinking there?
Right. Well, I mean, it's not just the people who are directly in the drug gangs, the fights there, but you have people who are kind of secondary involved who are not exactly the best people to hang around with, and they threaten other people. And but no, that's exactly right. Those are the areas where people benefit the most from having the option to be able to protect themselves. You have a lot of people whose lives are messed up in different ways from the drugs. They're probably not the best people to be around. And you have crime for many different reasons in those areas. And those are the people who benefit from protection. One of the things to point out, though, is just as it's very hard to stop illegal drugs from coming into the country, I mean, these drug gangs, it's very hard to stop them getting their drugs. It's also very hard to stop them from getting the weapons that they use to protect their drugs. I mean, here they have something extremely valuable. It's not like if one gang comes over and steals another gang's drugs, the second gang goes to the police and say, could you help us get our drugs back? They have to go and have their weapons there in order to stop the drugs from being stolen to begin with or to take them back. They set up their own little armies. And just as they can smuggle in the drugs, they can smuggle in the weapons that they use to protect those drugs. And so you see countries like that have had gun bans, like Ireland or Jamaica or the UK, they still have plenty of guns in those countries. And in fact, one of the things that's interesting is that whenever you see gun bans go into place, even in island nations, which you would think would be kind of the ideal experiment for a gun ban, you see increases in murder rates after the ban's been put in place. I can't find a place around the world where we've had gun bans that you don't see an increase in murder and violent crime after the ban's in place there. And the reason is simple. It basically follows along what we were saying at the beginning of the program, and that is the people who obey these laws are the good, law-abiding citizens, not the criminals. And to the extent that you disarm the law-abiding citizens relative to the criminals, you make it easier for those criminals to engage in their crime.
Well, I tell you what, I just wish more Americans would start catching on to this, because there's a population out there that thinks diametrically opposed to this, is there not?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the media has a big impact on this. People constantly hear about bad things that happen with guns. They rarely, if ever, hear about any of the benefits from guns. And it has a big impact on people's perceptions. I mean, when was the last time you watched ABC, NBC, CBS, or CNN, or MSNBC and heard a story about somebody using guns to protect themselves, protect somebody else? And my guess is you've never heard a story on those networks about that. And if you constantly hear about bad things that happen and never hear about any benefits, it has a real impact on people's perceptions about the costs and benefits of guns. The government does a survey every year to try to figure out how many crimes are committed with guns, because they know not all crimes are reported. And you'll have something like about, 150,000 gun crimes are reported to police each year, maybe 175,000. And there's about 400,000, some years maybe, well, it's about 400,000 right now, gun crimes that are indicated in terms of the survey. Well, if you do a similar survey in terms of defensive gun use, you find that people use guns defensively to stop crime about 2 million times a year. That means people use guns defensively to stop crime about 4 to 5 times more frequently each year than guns are used in the commission of crime. But few would know that, because they get most of their information from the media and they only hear about the bad things and never about the benefits. But I think the media has a big impact in another way, and that is we have these attacks, whether it be at the Aurora movie theaters or the mall shooting or the school shootings this week. How many people know that those attacks, all as well as all the other ones that they could think of, are occurring where guns are banned? And they just refuse. That's probably the simplest fact that they could go and check. but they never bring it up. Instead, you have them go through things that they're often wrong about. So you have half the people or more believe that the guy who did the Aurora movie theater shooting was wearing body armor. You know, I don't know how many times you hear about the claim that he had a bulletproof vest. Well, he didn't have. First of all, there's no such thing as a bulletproof vest. It's bullet-resistant vest. But even in that case, he didn't have a bulletproof vest. He had something called an assault vest. And what an assault vest is essentially made out of nylon, which is hardly bullet-resistant. And it has extra pockets so somebody can hold extra magazines to reload his gun. And, and yet somehow the media has kind of spun that into a bulletproof vest.
Right, okay. John, we've got to take another break. We'll come back to our title segment. Get your thoughts together to give the best advice to the public that you can. We certainly appreciate your being with us this evening.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
Rising food prices, extreme weather, political and economic uncertainty. The one lesson learned by those who lived through Hurricane Katrina. If you're counting on your government to show up and take care of you in the event of a major disaster, you just might have to wait a long, long time. Will your family be ready in the event of an unexpected disaster or disruption? The best step towards preparedness is a quality storable food supply from Dry Harvest Foods. Dry Harvest offers healthy, high-quality storable food that you can depend on. Our food packages contain real meat, real butter, real cheese, with none of those cheap ingredients like soy protein substitutes. Dry Harvest has the highest calorie count per dollar in the industry, so you can feel confident and ready in these uncertain times. Some people worry, others prepare. Call Dry Harvest Foods at 406-587-4181 or visit callnow.org. That's Dry Harvest Foods, 406-587-4181, and visit callnow.org.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried the vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Way on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my two workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning, and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. Welcome back to our program, John Lott.
Thank you.
Yeah, this last segment, I'm going to give you the floor, and you can tell us what I missed in asking you or what other very important points that you feel like that we should bring out during this last segment. So you got the floor.
Well, if you want to talk about these mass public shootings, one of the things that's clear when you read the diaries or other documents that these people leave behind or listen to the videotapes
is that they're intent on committing suicide. And indeed, 75% of the people who engage in these types of attacks die at the scene. And the other 25%, it's pretty clear that they intended on committing suicide, but just couldn't bring themselves to actually kill themselves at the end there. And but what they want to do is they want to kill themselves in a way that's going to go and get attention for them. And it's really chilling to go and read what they've written, because they're often very explicit that they realize that they can go and get more. The more people they kill, the more publicity that they can get. And so, you know, the issue basically is, how do you take away that gain that they view in their warped mind that they get from doing these crimes? And there are a couple things to point out. One is they thrive on the attention. They are doing this. They're trying to kill as many people because they believe that's the way they can get more attention. So to the extent to which, and I'm not saying this is something that's going to change, but to the extent to which the media, you know, gives attention to these guys, they are encouraged to do this. If the media tomorrow stopped publishing their names, that would probably reduce to a good extent the rate at which these attacks occur. The second thing is that one of the reasons why they pick these gun-free zones to engage in these crimes is because they know a pretty simple truth, and that is things that I've found in my research, and that is the longer the amount of time it takes for somebody with a gun to arrive on the scene to stop them, the more carnage that you're going to have. And the faster you can get a gun there, the sooner you can stop it. And police, you know, 8-minute response time is phenomenal. 5 minutes is unheard of. And yet in 5 minutes or 8 minutes or 10, you can have a world of hurt that's going to be caused in that situation. And so one thing that's proven to be very successful in the cases that we've talked about is to let people have the option to be able to go and defend themselves. You constantly hear fears about, well, will bystanders be shot or what have you? And yet, out of all the cases that we talked about where permit holders have stopped these attacks, there's not a single instance where a permit holder has accidentally shot a bystander. You know, people often compare us to Europe. When we have these types of shootings, I often get calls from the media in other countries. But one thing is very clear, and that is Europe actually has about the same rate of multiple victim public shootings that we have here in the United States. It doesn't get the same attention when they occur. And also, I think because you have so many different countries, people don't kind of add them up. But you have to put it on a per capita rate. You just can't compare Norway or Germany to the United States. And when you add them up across all the countries and put it on a per capita rate, they're very similar rates between the United States and Europe. I mean, not only did you have the Norway attack last year in which 69 people were shot to death and another 110 were wounded as a result of the shooting, you know, ignoring the deaths from the bombing that he had. 2 years ago, you had 12 people killed in Britain by a taxicab driver. You had attacks in Finland in both a mall and a university 2 years ago. You've had France has had numerous attacks over the last few years. Germany, if you look at Germany, Germany has had 2 of the 4 worst public school shootings. And my guess is most Americans wouldn't have a clue about that, yet Germany has extremely restrictive gun control laws. It takes more than a year to go and get a long gun permit. You have to undergo 2 psychological screening tests. But, you know, the problem is that when somebody plans one of these attacks for many months in advance, it's very hard to stop them. And for somebody who wants to die in these attacks, if you combine somebody who wants to die, who's willing to die, and is willing to put the time into making these attacks go, it's very difficult to stop people in those situations. One of the comparisons that you often see made is people will say, well, look at murder rates in the United States and compare them to Britain or to Germany, and our murder rate is significantly higher.
And they say, well, we have more guns, and so guns cause the higher murder rate. There's a really pretty obvious problem there, and that is murder rates and crime rates vary across countries for lots of reasons. The most powerful comparison, I think, is to see what happens to an individual country after its gun control laws change. So, for example, before London had any gun control, you had a city of about 8 million people. There were two gun murders in 1900. Murder rates have gone up after each of the major gun control regulations have been put in place in Britain. Same with Germany, same with other countries. When you see bans, you see these increases in murder rates. So if you accept the fact that there are many different reasons that murder rates differ across countries for any individual country, just like it was true for Chicago and Washington, D.C., where we had bans there and saw huge increases in murder rates, you see the same thing across these other countries. So I don't know what else you want me to say, but I mean,
that is great. I wrote an article in 1999 after the Columbine, and I put it up on my site today. It's called The Schooling. And one of the ideas that I put forward in there is that why don't we take our, just say the public schools, and start giving them gun safety classes in within those public schools, and then get the teachers familiar with how to handle weapons, and let's get principals and some of the key personnel and arm them. What do you think about something like that?
Well, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I don't see any reason. For states that had right to carry laws prior to 1995 when the Federal Safe School Zone Act was passed, it was possible to go and carry permanent concealed handguns on school property. People often seem to think whatever the rules are right now, they're the way they've always been, and that's simply not the case. And yet there were no problems, not one single problem that I've been able to identify or anybody else has identified with all those states that allow teachers and others to carry permanent concealed handguns on school property. In fact, one of the things I mentioned earlier, the first of the public school shootings in Pearl, Mississippi, that was stopped by a permit holder, a guy named Joel Myrick, his former Marine, he used to carry a permit concealed handgun with him when he taught there up until 1995 when the Federal Safe School Zone Act was passed. At that time, being a good law-abiding citizen, he stopped carrying it on school property, parked it in his car more than a quarter of a mile off school property. When the attack started in October 1997, he had to run literally a half mile to get his gun, a half mile back, and was still able to hold the attacker at point-blank range on the ground for 11 minutes before the police arrived. But, I mean, that's an example of a teacher who used to carry his permanent concealed handgun on school property, and if he'd still been able to do it as a result of the law, if the federal law hadn't changed there, he probably would have been able to stop the attack much sooner than he actually did.
Right. What I'd like to see, instead of gun-free zones, gun-protected zones, meaning the school.
Right, well.
See?
Well, I mean, I have no problem with that. I think adults, whether it be university level or any school, any place, the problem is when you create these gun-free zones, those are the places these criminals attack.
Right. Well, I tell you, I just wish we could get, we need this media to start waking up to some of the information in your fine book here.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you letting me talk about it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, John Lott, for being with us this evening. We certainly appreciate what you've done in this area. We certainly do.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Well, thank you very much. Good night. Okay, up there, James, thank you for running the engineering board. You did an excellent job. Thank you, Ted Anderson. And Tina, get well up there. We're getting ready to sign off, and we've got to wake up about this gun rights thing. We need to maintain our gun and our gun rights and protect our children. And Ron Paul said that at one of his lectures up in Des Moines, Iowa. We need guns to protect our babies. Okay, thank you very much for listening. Night.